Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 50. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. Thanks so much for joining me this week. I've got a lot of great things to discuss for you and hopefully give you some insight onto some new topics maybe you haven't heard of before, and maybe give you some different opinions on some topics that you have heard before. First of all, I'm going to start off this week's episode by saying goodbye to Audacity. Now, when I started using this podcast, started doing this podcast back in March of last year, one of the things that I would sort of do is I would sort of use Ardour and Audacity sort of combined. And then eventually I switched to Audacity all in general for this podcast. And over the last 10 weeks or so, I've really ran into a bunch of issues using Audacity. And one of them being every time that I recorded this podcast, I would have to record two or three times in order to get a good recording from Audacity. And for some reason, it would record well for about 10 minutes. And then after that, it would start skipping audio. And in some cases, it would completely ruin a perfectly great episode of this podcast. And I'd have to redo the entire thing from scratch. And at first, I thought it was because I was using Audacity on Linux, and then I tried it on Mac and I was running into the same issues. I tried to reinstall Audacity. That seemed to work well for a couple of weeks, and then all went to bad recordings again after that. So what I'm doing now with this podcast is I've switched over to OBS full time. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to record the audio in OBS because I don't seem to have any trouble with OBS. And then after that, I'll probably edit the audio in Audacity and see if that works. If not, I may just ditch Audacity altogether. I'm not really sure yet. We'll see how it goes. I do like the editing tools in Audacity, so we'll see. We'll stick with it. If anybody else has that problem, let me know. And I'm sure there are lots of great audio editors out there. I know of a ton of them, but I'm really liking OBS, so I'm going to stick with that. And so the first thing that I want to talk about this week is a use that I've come up with for OBS. And you've heard me talking recently about live streaming. And you've heard of the new shows that I'm doing on YouTube. That's the MRP Tech Reviews Live show. This was all sort of an experiment for me to use live streaming in education and in a different professional setting. And for me as a musician, what I wanted to do is I wanted to be able to live stream my professional music organization whenever we performed out at this venue that we play at once a month. And I thought it would be kind of neat because I know a lot of people in my band. It's a big band, so it's got about 20 different musicians that are involved. And I know a lot of the musicians, they are from different areas and they have family far away. And I thought it'd be kind of cool to be able to give back to them and say, hey, you know, here's a link, you know, your family members can join in and they could watch online. And I know a lot of people that sometimes come month after month, you know, in the wintertime, they travel to Florida, that type of thing. And we basically just wanted to provide something for them and then eventually get my students involved and get my students watching who live about an hour away. And I just wanted to be able to give them an opportunity to hear these great musicians. And so what I did is I've been thinking of this for about 2 years, and it's just been bugging me nonstop. And I didn't really quite have the capability to live stream. But since I started doing this podcast, I had to upgrade some audio equipment. And then all of a sudden I started realizing, especially with OBS, that the possibility of doing live streaming concerts all of a sudden came into focus. So we did an experiment last month. We just did audio only. And basically, it worked so well that I really got motivated about doing video. But in order to do video, let me back up a step. With doing audio only, I was doing this over a Wi-Fi connection. And if I wanted to do video, I really needed to do an Ethernet connection. So what I did, I contacted the venue that I perform at every month. And basically asked them, hey, you know, I want to run an Ethernet cable from your router over to where I set up my sound system. And, you know, I got this thing called OBS, and we can live stream right from your venue. And you know what? During intermission, I'll even post pictures from your website and give you some advertisement if you let me do this. And they were all for it. They were excited about it. And basically, I thought the router was in one spot in the building, up towards the front of the building. We performed towards the back of the building. And I thought it was in one spot. And I said, you know, we could run an Ethernet cable. I've got one long enough. We'll run it along the ceiling where all the lighting fixtures are for the stage. And be out of everybody's way. And, you know, I'll try to do it so that, you know, nobody can see it, that type of thing. And we'll get going. And their response was, well, the router is actually in the basement, and you can just run the cable through the basement up through the floor, and you'll be all set. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. That's great. You know, so I was imagining in the basement, there's a router, just run the cable along the top of the ceiling in the basement, right up through the floor, set up in 15 minutes, ready to go. And so the night before we're set to perform, what I decided to do, I wanted to go get this taken care of ahead of time. And so when I went in the basement for the first time, this place was like a maze. There was rooms off in every single direction. There was certain areas that were lit, certain areas that were not lit. And it turned out that this was going to become much more complicated than I imagined. So what I did is I went and found a good spot to drop the Ethernet through the floor. And I had about 100-foot cable, and I had to go all the way to the front of this building. And I was figuring that I was just going to make it. I had just about enough cable. I was not expecting that far of a distance. So already right off the bat, I'm wondering if this is going to work. So I drop the Ethernet cable through the floor, go back down to the basement, start pulling on a bunch of cable. And I see that there's a pipe that I can run the Ethernet cable right next to. So I run the Ethernet cable about 30 feet, maybe 40 feet alongside of this pipe. I have to go through a brick wall. Luckily, there's a hole there already. And then take a sharp left turn, go about 10 more feet, go through another brick wall, up over the top of some pipes, all the way into an office, and then drop the Ethernet cable down and from the ceiling and connect to a router. And then I ran into, everything was going well. They only ran into one little problem where I couldn't get the Ethernet cable through the hole into the office. And what happened was it took some time, but luckily, there just happened to be that night, their electrician was also there. And I want to give a big shout out to him because he helped me tremendously get everything in the right spot. And so we got it all set up, plugged into the router. And I go back to the spot where we dropped the Ethernet cable through. And turns out I actually pulled the cable through the floor. And I've run lots of cable. I used to work with my father quite a bit on satellite dish installations, and we've run cable for hundreds of yards, so I knew some tricks, you know, dropping a string through and pulling it back up. And so we were able to do that, dropped a string down through, pulled the Ethernet cable back up through the floor and up and running. And so I was set up, ready to go, tested it real quick to make sure I had a connection, and perfect. The internet connection was good. The signal strength was good. We did a speed test. Speed test was awesome. And so we're all set up for the next night. And when I show up the next night, everything good to go. We set up all of our equipment. We set up all of the computers that we needed for live streaming. And basically, I had a backup that I knew the audio worked. So if the video wasn't going to work, then I would just go over from OBS from the video to a actual slideshow that I had done last month, and it worked well. So I get everything ready to go. About 5 minutes before we start, I switch over to the video feed, and the video feed is not working well at all. And so what I realized, I've been testing OBS for months. I knew exactly what I needed to do. And I started experimenting with bitrate and the output, high definition output as far as 720p or 1080p. And I really wanted it to be in 1080p. Experimented with the bitrate, and then boom, there we go. We have great video and audio. And I was concerned about video and audio sync because I had been working on that for so long, trying to really tweak the audio and video syncing. And I had tested over Wi-Fi, but I wasn't sure how that was going to change when I switched to Ethernet. So luckily, as we're performing, I'm having people who are tuning in to this live concert post on Facebook, and it seemed like the audio and video are synced, and everybody was happy with the live stream. And so it was a success, and you know, it was really awesome to be able to take something that I learned from this podcast and use it in another environment for live streaming a community concert. And that's really awesome for me, because if I can get students involved from a bunch of different districts to tune in and listen to these musicians who are all music teachers themselves, that's a way to inspire students to continue in a music program. And I think we need lots of that right now. I think we need students in arts programs and to be involved. And if I can get them motivated to tune in once a month to see their music teachers perform, I think that's pretty awesome. And so I was all excited after the show to go check out the live stream after it processed on YouTube. And I was really bummed to find out, you know, as this music organization, we have about 112 songs that we play in our book. They're all like jazz standards. They're all well-known tunes. And we all know how Google's YouTube filters work. You know, you're going to get flagged for copyright here or there. And most of the time, they just put an ad on my video. And to be honest, what I do with my videos is I always mark them as unlisted so I could just share them with my students, but not really, I don't really want them out in the public. And so these videos marked as unlisted, there's out of 112 songs, there's one song, it's called The Children of Sanchez, that always mutes the audio on YouTube. And I don't know why, just happens to be in particular that that one song will mute the entire show that we've done. So I've known this in the past, and normally when I post videos of my band, I combine the video and the soundboard audio, and I just upload it myself. Well, in this case, it was a live stream, so I had never done that before, and the live stream actually got muted. The video looks great afterwards, but after the video had processed, after the live stream was done, everything worked during the live stream, but afterwards, when it processed, that one song flagged it and was completely muted. So what I decided to do is it got a little brave, and I wanted to contest this. I've never contested a video on YouTube before, but you know, the real reason I do this is really for my students and to try to motivate other students. And so, you know, I don't want to make money off of this video. I don't monetize the video, but what I do want to do is, you know, get people looking towards my organization and, you know, maybe supporting that organization so that we can continue to do what we do. And I was very bummed that this video got muted because I wanted to see how this live stream worked. So I contested the video, and I looked online to see how to do it. And you know, I knew that I probably could use an excuse for fair use, educational fair use, when it came to copyright. I think it's a legitimate reason, and I wouldn't have done it if I didn't think it was legitimate. And I basically said, hey, if you want to keep this video muted, that's fine. I'll even pull it down. But here's what I do. I mark it as unlisted. I just show it to students. And, you know, we're not really out to make money off of this. And so I haven't heard back yet. It's been about a week, and I've heard that it can take up to 3 weeks for a contested video to be resolved, if that's the case. So I hope that's what happens. I'm not really sure. But all I wanted to do was see if the audio and video was in sync. And I sort of did hear from other people that it sounded good. But, you know, you always want to go back and check your work, and you always want to see what came of it. So I'm going to stop there with the live stream. I'm probably boring you all with my live stream story. But, you know, we all learn something new, and we all have ideas, and encourage you, you know, if you have ideas and you're really been thinking about things for a long time, make it happen. You know, do what you need to do to learn what you need to learn in order to make it happen. You know, a year ago, knew nothing about live streaming. I knew I could probably figure it out, but it was something that was in the back of my mind. And speaking of live streaming, last week on Friday, I live streamed the MRP Tech Reviews live show, and I've talked about this before, and I wanted to bring something up with you just really quickly to go over to that YouTube channel, MRP Tech Reviews, and see my latest video on something called Ecosia. And if you've never heard of that before, it's a web browser that every time that you do web browsing with this browser, you're basically promoting a company to plant trees in areas that have been ruined by deforestation or illegal mining or that type of thing. And I really saw that recently Ecosia has been pushing hard, and they're making a strong comeback. I sort of went in depth there. I'm not going to go in depth here, but I talked about everything that Ecosia does, how you can help the environment just by searching on a web browser. And at the same time, I also compared it to other companies like Microsoft and Google and Apple and what they're doing to help the environment. And I encourage you, if you've never heard of Ecosia, E-C-O-S-I-A, Ecosia, the web browser, to take a look at it and go watch the MRP Tech Reviews video on that, because I found it was very interesting, and I didn't know anything about it. And then I went and did research, and I kind of went a little in depth on it. And I hope you enjoy that video. If you take a watch of that video, let me know what you think of it, and I'd be glad to give you a few more thoughts on that. Okay, so now, coming up next, what I wanted to talk about is something that was completely off my radar last week, and I have no idea why I didn't hear of this. Something huge happened on Friday that I didn't know would happen in the beginning of March, and that's Nintendo released the Nintendo Switch. It was last Friday. I've heard about the Switch before, and I was really interested in it, but for some reason it was just off my radar, and all of a sudden I started seeing articles pop up about the Nintendo Switch, and when it's in stock, I guess it's selling for about MSRP of about $300, but right now completely out of stock on Amazon, and the prices are through the roof to be able to get this. And the idea of the Switch is actually fascinating. The ability to switch back and forth between a tablet interface and a console interface, I think that's a pretty cool idea. And the use of being able to switch with these Joy-Cons, the joystick interfaces that can hook to this tablet or be used wirelessly, or used as a controller on their own, really is awesome. And the videos that are up on Amazon's website for the Switch are really awesome videos. They really showcase the mobile aspect of this console, and at the same time really show you how much Nintendo was thinking about interaction between different people. And what I found fascinating about the video is they're not gearing towards a younger audience here. They're gearing towards people in their 20s and 30s in these videos. And they're gearing in advertising more towards the social aspect of this, which I thought was interesting. And gameplay between different Nintendo Switch devices, team gameplay looked really strong in these videos, and I was really sort of blown back by these videos. And I had been doing some reading over the last few days about the Switch, and basically it's a 6.2 inch tablet with a 720p resolution, and I sort of reached out to people that I knew were interested in this. So I went to the Unite Facebook page, the Upstate New York Technology Enthusiasts, and I sort of just put a post out. Didn't realize that this was being released. Anybody have one yet? And overwhelmingly, the comments that were there, the people that do have them, they love them. Many people know someone who has them, and they rave about it. Some people were waiting for bugs to be patched. Some people basically say that everybody they know that has bought one loves it, especially for the Legends of Zelda game, and they think it's amazing. There were a couple people that brought some comments up, some of them having issues with the dock being cheap and sort of scratching the screen. And so it causes a lot of things to be defective. And some people were saying that there are software issues with Zelda. And that just a couple other things, like if you put the wrist strap on wrong, you're going to break the controllers. I found all that stuff interesting. And also someone else made a comment that there was a game called 1-2 Switch that basically trains you how to use the Nintendo Switch, but it isn't included in the console. You have to pay $25 for it, and it wasn't really that great of a game. So overwhelmingly, the response has been good for the Nintendo Switch. I've heard of certain games being that are graphic intensive having a rough time keeping up with like 30 frames per second and that type of thing. But overall, the comments seem to be really good for the Switch. And looking into it, I did find that there are people out there that are having issues with scratching the screen as you're placing the tablet on the console and removing it from the dock. Just something to be aware of, that there are screen protectors, and there are like skins that you can put over the device, but apparently when you use the skins, the buttons and the controllers aren't really working the best afterwards. So there's actually companies out there that are saying don't buy a skin if you want the controllers to still work well. So that's just a heads up for all of you who are out there, maybe who have bought the Switch. And if you've bought the Switch, let me know what you think of it. I think it's a pretty awesome idea, being able to bring it anywhere. You can hold it actually in your hands and play. You can set it up like a small monitor on a table or something like that and use the controllers wirelessly. You can connect multiple Switches together to play the same games. And they really pointed out the mobile aspect of it, plugging in headphones, and using it on an airplane. And the video on Amazon was actually really cool because the guy's playing a game at home. He goes out and he meets some friends and he plays the video game with, I think he's playing Legend of Zelda. I can't remember exactly now, but playing and showing this off to his friends. Then he hops on an airplane and plugs the headphones in and people are sleeping next to him. And he's puts the tray down on the airplane and really pops out the little kickstand for the Nintendo Switch, and he puts it on and on a table and just plays it with wirelessly. It's really kind of cool. And then they go from there into a few other people in a more social aspect playing the Nintendo Switch. So if you haven't seen that video, it's just on Amazon. If you search for Nintendo Switch, it's about 3 minutes long. Kind of a cool video. So I do not have the Switch yet, and I don't think I'm going to buy one, but I am curious in these types of things. Graphics-wise, I think it's better than the, obviously, Nintendo Wii and Wii U. I've always thought Nintendo was geared towards younger audiences, but maybe they're trying to change that. I haven't seen any videos with graphics that just blow me away yet, but I don't think that's what Nintendo's all about anyway. I think the intensive graphics are either, on PlayStation or Xbox or for PC. And I don't play a whole lot of games, but I like to bring it up and some thoughts in case anybody else out there is using the Nintendo Switch. So tell me what you think about that. I'd be glad to hear from you. Other than that, I think that's going to do it for this week's episode of the MRP Tech Podcast. I definitely appreciate you taking a listen week after week. You can always give me feedback. You go over to www.mrptechreviews.com and hit the contact form. I'd love to hear from some of the listeners who haven't ever contacted me before. You're always welcome to contact me, give me ideas for show content, or just feedback on what you're hearing. And I'd love to gear this podcast more towards what the listeners like. So I do get feedback from time to time, and I do have a couple of emails that I haven't gotten to yet, and thanks everybody for sending those in. But that's going to do it for this week. Thanks so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.